session number 11202, reel 15.
J.C. Rogers, reel 15. You went to the regimental base depot at Bransworth, Mr. Rogers. How long were you there?
I'd be there for about 3 weeks to a month, I would think. They reported to Bransworth Castle, and then they sent me to Eswinning. And the camp was made up of people that had been sent, been wounded and sent back to the Bransworth. And our time was spent by doing odd duties. Every morning we had to parade, and we were all given special jobs to do. And I had to take potato picking, potato picking. And I took them out one day, and the chaps had heard. By the way, the army got a shilling a day for every man that worked on his farm. And the chaps had heard that some of the farmers were giving the fellas cigarettes and half a crown for beer at the end of the day. Because they were getting a full day's work out of them, and they were only paying a shilling a day. So would I put it to the farmer, which I did, and he wouldn't hear tell of anything. He said no. He said, I pay the army. So in the forward night time, I was talking, and I met a farmer, and I told the farmer. He said, if you come, if you can get these men to come to me, he said, I'll pay you the full rate, which I did. I told them to scrounge away out of the road, keep out of the road, don't give a job, go down to this pub in Eswinning, and he'd bring a trailer along and pick us up. From then on, we enjoyed ourselves picking potatoes, because we were getting the full rate, and we had a little bit extra money for our night time. Other than that, was ordinary duties, being cloakrooms and dances at the Bransworth Castle, and at the offices used to have anything they could use Europe for. But there was one time we had to go on do a funeral. There was a major, he'd been stationed in Scotland, I think, and he owned a pub at Darlington, and I don't know whether it was White Horse or White Lion. They said, go into Darlington before you get into the town itself. And he'd either died or had an accident or something, and we'd sent down to bury him. So I had to be the Lance Corporal to carry the hats, and we had six men and a sergeant and an officer. So we went down, and we gave him his burial. His wife was very good. She had a room in a pub all set aside, and we said, where would we go? And because the officers were already in the room, you know, she says, you just stop in here, it's all right. So we had our meal there, and when we finished, we got a 20 packet of Kafsten, and she was really, really kind of us.
So this time that you were at the depot, you were with men who were not going to go back into fighting.
No.
The war was still on.
Yes, the war was still on.
These were men who were downgraded.
Yeah, they'd been wounded and been downgraded. I'd been downgraded myself to B1.
And really, you were just basically filling in time.
Yes, yeah.
You were there 3 weeks.
Yeah, about 3 weeks, as far as I can remember. But I'll finish about the funeral. The officer that was there, he wasn't going straight back to the camp. And he was going into Darlington himself. I think he had his girlfriend to meet. And the chap said they had no money. So he said, what we're going to do, and if he goes away, what we're going to do until 11 o'clock at night? So they said, tap him for some money. So I got hold of him, and I told him the situation. And I said, they've got no money. I said, can you loan us some money? I said, I'll see that you get it back. And he pulled his wallet out, and he said, well, I haven't got much, you know. But I think it was about £3 or £4 he took out. And he said, well, will that do? And he gave us £4. And I said, you'll get it back. And, of course, the lads were good that way. And when we were leaving, I kept that, the lads tipped up, and I had the £4 for them. And the, I think it was just the day before we were leaving, I met him. I'd never seen him before, and I stopped him. And he thought it was manna from heaven. He said, I wrote that money off ages ago. So it just showed you how good that the lads can be. He was kind enough to lend us the money, and they were always honest about it, and he got his money back.
So where did you go after Bransford?
Well, before I left Bransford, I met Billy Nicholson again, and he'd never left there. Billy Nicholson was my full corporal, and he came across and he saw me, and he was amazed when I told him where I'd been and what we'd gone through. And he said, honestly, he said, I've never left here. And not that he wanted to stay there all the time, but as I might have mentioned before, he was a footballer, and he was playing guest for Sunderland and different other teams. So that was his. He spent all his army life at Bransford Castle. So we'd joined the army to see the world, and they used to say, join the army to see the world, and join the Durham to see the next. From then on, I had to take number of clerks, storemen, and different other people down to join the Duke of Wellington's. They were shouting out for admin men. So I had to take these down and to join the Duke of Wellington's. And there was one lad there that he'd been a full sergeant, and he wouldn't carry his rifle. Out in France, the officer had been sending the carriers forward, and he never took his turn. And the one carrier had to go forward for a recce, and it was his second time to go recce, and it was the officers should have been going out, and he didn't go. And this lad took umbrage about that, and he was sent back, and he was bombed. He wasn't severely hurt, but he was shell-shocked a bit. But he refused to carry his rifle, and he wouldn't. He'd made his mind up, and he had MPs and everybody dragged in with this particular thing. So when we got posted, he was posted as a clerk. They brought the rifle to me, and they said, take that down with you. You know, get one of the lads to carry it. He's refusing to carry it. I said, none of these lads carrying his rifle. If he's not going to carry his rifle, I'm not taking it down. And I didn't. I left the rifle behind, and I took him. That was his stand, what he was doing. And
he was a Durham lad, this
week. He was a Durham, yeah, and he was been a sergeant. Yeah, and he'd been in a platoon.
What had he done in France to do this? You say that he said about an officer.
Yes, the officer wouldn't take his presumably the carriers took turns in going forward to find the layout of the land, you see, and they would be going into a dangerous area. And he told me that this officer should have went in, and he wouldn't. He wouldn't go in and send him.
Was,
no, I never mentioned his name.
So
I found all this out because he wouldn't carry his rifle. You see, I asked him why he wouldn't carry his rifle, and he told us the story, and it had been going on. The saga had been going on for a long time. Now, I knew the fella. He was only a small fella, but he was quite intelligent, and his father was something to do with a big wine company in London, and he'd They had MPs and everything to back them up. But he never carried a rifle. He went without it.
Then you went to the joined the Duke of York, was it?
The Duke of Wellington's. Yes. And I was put straight into the storeman's job with the quartermaster. And we took new drafts in 1,000 at a time from the young lads who were still coming in, 18-year-olds who were still coming in. So we just spent our time rigging them out, full days, rifles and everything, battle dresses, just rigging them up for the start off. And then, of course, the training officers used to take over and train them. And then after that, another new draft was coming in. I think I took two new drafts of young lads like that. And then I took one draft of prisoners of war. They were sent to Colchester as well. And they were in a bit of a state, but they had plenty of money that then they were getting a change from what they've been used to.
This would take you up to being demobilised?
Yes, uh-huh.
And when did that occur?
That would be sometime in November, about 1945, I think, 1945.
And how did that process work?
Well, from the time you went in, they had it all worked out when you were due to come out, and you had a demobilisation date, and you just automatically come into it. And then when you returned, we were took away from the camp, Colchester, and to Northampton. And we were rigged out with our civvy suits and hats and things like that. Put on the train and sent back home with our bit money and what we were entitled to.
Do you recall how much money you got?
I had £70 with a lot of money in those days. Gratuity pay, I think they called it. I had £70, and of course what was left over in my pay book, which was a fairly good amount because we spent most time of our army career abroad, and we weren't able to spend a great lot of money.
Were you given a medical when you left?
At Chester, I was given a medical when I told you I was a stroke on Trent, and when you were getting better, they sent you to Chester Hospital for a medical. And when I had my medical at Chester, and when I was coming back to, I think it was Newcastle Hospital, when I was coming back, the ambulance was taking us Stafford Hospital, taking us to Newcastle on the Lyme. I was in the ambulance and I looked at the my papers. There was an ATS driver in driving the ambulance. She said, "You're not supposed to look at them." But I looked at it, and on my paper, might not believe this, was malaria and cardiac. So they must have found some kind of cardiac trouble, and that went through.
Again in your final medical when you left.
Yes, that was the reason I was graded down to B1. I never complained about it. I didn't know, but right at the beginning, I said that the doctor said there was something wrong with my heart, and they found it when I got to Chester Hospital. They had on cardiac. But it's never been a great problem. I've never been told with it. I've had one coronary since, but otherwise I've just got through life. But it was remarkable. I went, the officer that took me in never found it. And I went through all the war and everything and come back. And yet, when I went to Chester, they found it. I got graded down to B1. That was why I never went. I tried to get back.
After your final medical, that would be it. You came home. That was the finish.
Yes. Uh huh. Yeah.
And was there some form of leave before you, finally?
Oh yeah. Yes. You got. I think with a fortnight's leave.
And that was your army life terminated.
Demobbed. Yeah.
And then you started working.
Got an extended leave and you got paid up to a certain time, but you needn't have started work straight away. But I had about a fortnight and I got browned off and I just went and started my own job back again.
Did you continue at all with the territorials, or was that the end of your army life?
That was the end of my army life. We always said we'd never join, and we wouldn't even join the Salvation Army, we said. But I did join the British Legion. I helped the British Legion in Sunderland. I was secretary and chairman. We opened a club in Sunderland. Was with the rest of the committee responsible for opening the nice club we've got in Sunderland here. And I did a lot of work. I done Poppy Day organisation and all that type of thing. Until I got a chance to go into business on my own, and I didn't have the time, so I gave all the jobs up and carried on with the business.